910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Deadly storm swept through the Midwest and the South overnight. Two people were killed in Logan County, Ohio, where Andrea Fagan with the Indian Lake Area Chamber of Commerce said,
"It's pure devastation. I have never seen anything like this in my entire life."
At least 13 people in Indiana were taken to hospitals. There are more than 44,000 power outages in the region. A jury in Michigan convicted James Crumbly, the father of a school shooter, of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the 2021 shooting deaths of four students at Oxford High School. Jennifer Crumbly, his wife, had already been convicted. They'll be sentenced next month. Hamas handed over its official written response to the U.S. brokered framework for a six-week ceasefire and reportedly agreed to delay talks to end the war until after it frees more hostages, Israel's war cabinet's discussing. Today's the first of 3 days of voting in Russia, where Vladimir Putin's expected to win another six-year term. This is ABC News. Two police officers outside Detroit are now on leave after video shows one of them kicking a black man in the head during an arrest last month. The suspect was accused of domestic violence. The Macomb County Sheriff's investigating. Miami Beach is getting ready for a wild couple of days.
Miami Beach Commissioner David Suarez says this upcoming weekend is typically the worst for out-of-control partying each year. It's right in the heart of spring break, and it comes just ahead of the Miami Music Week, which draws young people from around the world. The city's been upping police presence, jacking up parking prices, closing beaches past 6 p.m., and taking other steps to try and keep things under control. The Miami Herald says so far, 80% of spring break-related arrests on South Beach have been locals. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The NCAA is facing a lawsuit from college athletes trying to ban transgender women. They claim the organization violated their Title IX rights by letting a transgender swimmer compete in the national championships. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers signed 15 bills into law on Thursday. Among the new bills is an expansion of the state's Clean Water Fund program. That program helps to make sure communities have everything they need to keep their drinking water safe. The money can be used for everything from treating PFAS to upgrading wastewater systems. Other bills signed into law clarify hunting and fishing regulations and update electronic recycling rules. A Superior-based Catholic charitable organization is not exempt from paying unemployment taxes. The Wisconsin Supreme Court made the ruling against the Catholic Charities Bureau Thursday. While religious groups are usually exempt from paying taxes, the court found that because the work they did was secular in nature, they still had to pay. Attorneys for the group say that they intend to appeal the ruling directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Badgers with a big win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin faces Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center in Minneapolis. The Badgers eliminated Maryland 87-56. Wisconsin with a season-high 16 three-point shots to build an early lead. Head coach Greg Gard.
You know, I see these guys every day in every drill and every workout, so I know we've got good shooters. Don't beat yourself up mentally. You have to keep playing and keep playing aggressively.
NBA, the Bucks beat the 76ers 114-105. Doc Rivers relieved to get the win at home.
Probably they wanted to get home. We wanted more rest, if you know what I mean. This is one of those trap games. First game back, guys are banged up. I was very concerned about this game tonight.
NFL, A.J. Dillon will be back with the Pack. The 25-year-old running back has signed a qualifying deal that will essentially pay him around $1.4 million on a one-year prove-it deal if he makes the roster. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 51 for a high this afternoon. Becoming a little breezy here by late this afternoon. The wind out of the west, 10 to 20, gusting to 25 after about 4 or 5 this afternoon. Tonight, some light rain or snow showers. Windy with a low of 34. Tomorrow, a few light snow showers. Windy, mostly cloudy with a high of 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Joe Furlow, Rich LoCascio, and Michael Nielsen. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, March 15th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, through podcasts, through social media video feeds, any way you slice it, we're glad to have you here on this Friday as we wrap up another week here and have made it to mid-March. We're getting close to March Madness. We have no shortage of news headlines to talk about today as well, and your input is always welcome too. Again, it's a brand new number. You're going to hear it more frequently on more shows. We're kind of the guinea pigs here, but Get this number jotted down, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We would love to hear from you, or you can also send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or comment on one of the many Facebook pages where you see what it is that we're doing here every morning from 6 until 8 on the weekdays. We're going to talk for a little bit here about how former President Donald Trump has won more delays in the four major criminal cases that he's facing, making it that much more likely that voters will be asked to choose between presidential candidates without hearing all the evidence that could indicate that one of the nominees is a criminal threat to the country. But so far, his legal strategy is working pretty much as we all said it was going to. It just doesn't appear that anybody's taking a 30,000-foot view of this and trying to keep the wheels of justice turning. In the second hour, Mark Jacob will join us. We'll talk about the rising number of examples of Republican politicians who are trying to take credit for the infrastructure investments being made in their districts, even though they voted against the spending, the jobs, and the improvements that are coming their way, thanks to President Biden and congressional Democrats in the last session of Congress. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be around as well to give us the weekend forecast. And again, in true March fashion, I mean, you've got 50s, you've got cool temps, we've got chances of precipitation. We'll get all those details coming up from Brittany in our next hour. But let's tell you what the temperatures are like around Wisconsin at this hour, anywhere from 12 to sometimes 20 degrees cooler than yesterday. Here in Chippewa Falls, it's 28 degrees right now. Hayward is down to 19, Park Falls 20, Wausau 30, Green Bay's at 30 degrees. La Crosse is 20 degrees colder than yesterday. It's 33 there right now. Wisconsin Rapids is at 32, Oshkosh 31, Madison 31, and it's 30 degrees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where in the studios of the Shaw WAUK, we find one Greg Bach, because if we found two Greg Bachs, I'd scream right now. That would be weird, but we find one Greg Bach.
If there are,
good morning.
If there are two Greg Bachs.
That would be so weird. But if that happened, one of you could get more sleep because one of you is working way too hard. Which reminds me, what's coming up at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, actually, it's going to... So, I mean, I'm always a fan of every weekend. I think we're always going to have a great time. This weekend, we have a gentleman named Mike Kaplan. He is maybe one of the smartest comedians I've ever witnessed. He is just, his mind works in a different way. He can break down topics that are very, very high, like complicated, like scientific, political topics, whatever. And it's not even like he's a political comic. He just can take really tough subjects, break them down, make them really funny. And as you think he's kind of talking about one thing here, one thing there, by the end of the show, he wraps it all up into a neat bow. And you realize you've almost watched a one-act, one-man show, but it's incredibly funny. So
I like that.
It's going to be.
I'm very intrigued.
It's going to be a great time. Tickets are still available. I think though they're like I haven't checked in a while, but they are going fast because he is a popular dude. So one show Friday, two shows Saturday. LaughingTap.com. You can find your tickets. I did want to say, though, when you said the Cool Temps, I was like, that's a nice band name.
The Cool Temps?
The Cool Temps. Like. Hey, everybody, we're the Cool Temps.
I like that. Yeah, we could do that.
But yeah.
What's our comedian's name again?
Mike.
Very smart guy?
M-Y-Q. Mike, but it's pronounced Mike. Mike Kaplan.
Okay. Very good. As soon as you said, you know, smart comedians, and again, anybody who goes into this is braver than I'll ever be. But then the ones that bring that extra level. I think, for example, and now I got to go way back in the day, the Dennis Miller we used to know, not the Dennis Miller who has gone full curmudgeon, but when he was kind of first new on the scene, there was a lot of smart, there was a lot of cultural references and things like that in there. I think of, you know, how different Jerry Seinfeld was when he first came on the scene. It was like, wait, he's got all these observations that, you know, are kind of a step above. So I always like that. It's not that all comedy is good. It's like pizza. You know, there's even bad comedy is still a good night out. But there's just something about, like you said, when somebody can bring a different dimension into it, it just makes it that much more enjoyable.
Absolutely. You know? And it's funny you bring up Jerry Seinfeld, another curmudgeon. The way he can handle like hecklers or talkers, I've also never seen that as well, where he, you know, a lot of times comics will engage or, you know, we've all seen the videos and he wants nothing to do with it. He sees it as, that's my time. This is my 45 to 60 minutes. He goes, this is my time. I'm talking now. This is about you. We're not talking about you right now. I don't want to talk to you. We're going to talk. I'm going to say what I want to say. And then we'll talk later. Maybe like he gently gives you the medicine with a hint of sugar.
Yes. I was in an audience once in Madison when a different comedian did something similar. Did I tell you about the time that we saw Mike Birbiglia in Madison and he threw a woman and her baby out of the theater? Did he tell that?
I don't think you told me that. I think I heard him talking about it once.
That could be. That could be, because this would have been, what, 2018, I think? Maybe 2019. So, you know, we're going
back 4 or 5 years
here. Yes, the old days. And we saw him down there in Madison.
Yeah.
And we start to hear this baby kind of whimpering, and Mike just stops the show and says, you know, can you bring up the house lights? It's like, oh, hi, ma'am. How are you? It's like, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I couldn't find a sitter. And he's like, oh, I mean, miracle of life and everything. And oh, the baby looks really cute from up here. And by the way, you know, you can't be here, right? It's a baby. You brought a baby into a comedy show. And she's kind of pushing back. Really? Really? And the audience is all kind of applauding, not for her, but for, it's like, no, you need to go. And we felt bad. But, you know, just because the sitter falls through, you know, well, I'm going to go bungee jumping today. But I couldn't find a babysitter, so I'm bringing the baby with me. There's just a line someplace.
Well, you know what? Honestly, and as a venue, as a producer and someone who helps run a venue, I will say this. That wasn't fair to him, and that wasn't fair to her. That was on the venue to say, you cannot do this. I'm sorry, but we cannot allow you in this room. Period.
Like, you are 100% correct. Yes. Yeah. I didn't mean to put that on Mike at all, but just, you know, those moments where it's not a heckler, it's a baby.
Yeah, he handled the situation, a situation that the venue should have handled the moment she walked up to the door. I had that once. We had a person walk up to our venue holding with not a crib, but like a baby holder. I don't know. I don't have a baby.
A baby holder.
A baby cage. And and I'm like, no, you can't come here. But we want to come see the show. Sorry, no babies allowed.
Yeah. There's not like a crying room like in some churches where you can go into this room.
Yeah.
You can look through a big pane of glass.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
We have big rules on ages in our place, too, because you see a 14-year-old in the room. It sucks the air out. People are nervous to laugh. Comics don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could go on for hours.
I brought my emotional support raccoon. You have to let it in. It's 6:16 right now. And tell you what, just a little bit early here, but we'll take a look at sports because it's a little busy. Like I said, we're getting close to March Madness time here. And the Badger men's basketball team is in the Big Ten tournament right now. And yesterday, they did not have any trouble dispatching Maryland by a score of 87-56. The Badgers made a season-high 16 three-point shots on their way to playing in this afternoon's game. Wisconsin is the 5 seed, and today they will play Northwestern, the 4 seed, in the quarterfinals at the Target Center in downtown Minneapolis. You can hear that game starting at 12:30 this afternoon on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, and WRJN in Racine. Meanwhile, the Marquette men's basketball team, they thought they had won the game at the end of regulation, but what they thought was the game-winning shot had been waved off. Apparently, the ball was still on one of the players' fingertips as the buzzer went off, and so they had to go to overtime. But Marquette held on to beat Villanova last night 71-65. In a quarterfinal game of the Big East Conference Tournament over at Madison Square Garden. So the Golden Eagles, they're the 3 seed and defending tournament champion. They will face a 7 seed Providence in tonight's semifinal. They will be the late game for that one. Let's go to the Milwaukee Bucks here next. Giannis had 32 points to lead the Bucks past the Philadelphia 76ers last night, 114-105. Brooke Lopez added 19. Damian Lillard had 17. The Bucks won at home after losing 3 out of 4 on a West Coast trip. Next, they will host the Phoenix Suns on Sunday, and that's an early game. 11:30, the broadcast begins on Oshkosh Air Support, on News from the Center, on Lake Air and Amory, WRJN and Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. That's for the Bucks and Phoenix on Sunday. As for the college hockey tournament, the Badger women, they're in the NCAA tournament. They got a first-round bye, so their first game will be tomorrow afternoon. They'll play the winner of today's Penn State-St. Lawrence game for a chance to advance to the Frozen Four. The River Falls women, 29-0, they host Adrian College of Michigan this evening. If they win, they will host either Middlebury College of Vermont or Elmira College of New York on Sunday afternoon for the national title. So that's a busy weekend in sports, and we'll talk more about all of that with Dan Schumacher coming up as we mark now just 13 days until the Brewers open up the season March 28th against the New York Mets. We'll unpack some of the news coming up in just a bit, followed by Kia Vakil, wherever you're listening to Cross Wisconsin on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft.
Are you making a face about this song?
Okay, I'm just gonna say this right now. I don't cuss on radio ever.
No, don't.
I'm not gonna cuss.
There's these rules.
But what in the HL? I can't even spell. What in the HE double hockey sticks is this? I've never heard this song. I can read, but
this is the Carpenters and. Again, you have to be in a certain age range to be reminded that the 70s were so weird. And this was a special song they did because I noticed on the National Day calendar today is World Contact Day. And it's dedicated to the thought that we can speak to the universe if we all think together, like through telepathy. And so World Contact Day back in whatever year this was, I want to say like 77 or 78, something like that. It was okay. Everybody at a certain point was supposed to just like think messages of peace and contact and other civilizations out there. The 70s were weird, Greg. They were just weird.
I mean, I love the Carpenters.
The Carpenters did a song about it.
I love the Carpenters, yeah. But man, that is.
Do you still have it in the queue there? Do you want to hear it from the beginning? What the beginning sounds like?
All right, you're listening to All Hit Radio, and it's 53 degrees at 13 minutes past the hour. And right now on our All Request line, I've got Mike Ledgerwood on the phone. Hey, babe, what would you like to hear? Hey, babe, I'm sorry. I can't hear you too well. You're going to have to speak a little closer into the phone. Okay,
is this
babe?
How you sounded on radio again? Back in the day, too?
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but that's not on our playlist. And by the way, you sound great over the phone. Anyway, if you give us your request, we'll be glad to play it for you, babe. So let's hear it.
We are observing your Earth.
Listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't.
And we'd like to make.
I'm sorry, Mike. There's
a contact with you.
And then up comes the beautiful tones of Karen Carpenter about how if we all close our eyes and concentrate, we can contact alien life.
If we all
70s were weird, Greg.
If we all close our eyes and concentrate, we can forget this song ever existed.
But now,
good
now
gravy
story. Yeah. Well, there you go. The daily newsletter that you can get at upnorthnewswi.com is out for this morning. All Women's History Month long, we are celebrating Wisconsin women, past and present, who have made the world a better place in ways both big and small. And today, you can read about four women who are among the state's 55 female brewers who belong to a national organization made up of women in the brewing business. There's also an article about some craft beers you can have made in Wisconsin to mark St. Paddy's Day coming up this weekend. And all of the winners from our reader contest about the best of Madison. This was the first city that we picked on. There will be others here where we asked for several favorite things. And now, Greg, you're in Waukesha, but you've spent some time in Madison. I have as well. And again, we want folks to subscribe to the newsletter. I won't go through all these, but I'd like to review a couple of them and see if you want to affirm any of these. For best bar food in Madison, the Old Fashioned on Capitol Square there.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I mean, but does it really count as bar food? Isn't the Old Fashioned more of a restaurant with a bar? And again, I know it's a fuzzy line there, but
I would agree with you. I think that I wouldn't just call it bar food either. Like, and that's bar food's not a pejorative either, but
no,
I would not think of that place as a, yeah, that's a, that's a, yeah, that's a bad, see. That's bad.
The best brat in town, readers said it was the Essen House. The best brewery was the Great Dane. I don't have the best palate on beer, but I do like the Great Dane's food there. Best cheese curds were at the Old Fashioned. Best restaurant overall, the Tornado. Have you ever eaten at the Tornado Supper Club?
No, what are they? Oh, Supper Club got me. I'm in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is just old school right there. Old school Supper Club. Thank everybody for voting online, sending in their comments, sending in emails. We appreciate that very much. And again, that's in our newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's talk about the Vibes Only podcast from Courier Newsroom. It's out again for this week with hosts Brian Derrick and Glenys Mahar. They talk to Democratic strategist Keith Edwards about how Biden's State of the Union address reset the vibes and set the tone for the general election campaign. They also talk about Trump's willingness to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They always finish with some sort of a good vibe, and you can get Vibes Only from CourierNewsroom.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, former President Trump knows how to work the court system. We've talked about this even as he was first being charged, when there were no trial dates, when we didn't even know for sure that things would get to trial, but that what he does best when he gets sued by contractors or employees or other people that he has stiffed along the way is to delay, 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 and just grind down any chance that the people suing him or now bringing charges against him will get everything that they want. And it almost appears as if the New York Times gets it. Almost. The headline here from Alan Foyer and Maggie Haberman is, "Trump's court delays pile up while the presidential race gathers speed. All four criminal cases against Donald Trump have become mired in issues that have pushed back the start of trials." And that's where I say we all are used to, you know, some kind of a minor delay. Something comes up in one way or another. Not every trial needs to start, you know, on the original start date. But some people are masters of manipulating the calendar, filing frivolous motions that enable them to push things off. And the New York Times article begins, actually, I'm just going to hit my mute button and give a little cough here because I'm not fully recovered yet. Hang on. All right, excuse me for that. Donald Trump's New York hush money case, the only one of his four criminal cases that looked like it would soon go to trial, suddenly faced the likelihood of a delay on Thursday when a big batch of potential new evidence abruptly became available. It then goes on to talk about the mishandling of classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, how that case is tied up in a motions hearing, the case in Georgia. We should see a ruling today on whether the district attorney bringing that case will be disqualified. And of course, at the federal election tampering case, the Supreme Court is dragging its feet to determine whether Trump can claim absolute immunity. And back to the Mar-a-Lago case, you had a judge yesterday who's very friendly to Trump refuse his motion to dismiss some charges. But the thing is, she still went along with delaying the case. She could have just rejected his motion to dismiss out of hand. The fact that she took weeks to hear it just continues to illustrate why we have to stay on top of these things, because the former president is going to delay as much as humanly possible and push it so that he can say, well, you can't start the trial now. The election is in a month or two. And of course, if he were to win the election, justice would go away and the voters would not be able to weigh the evidence for themselves as heard by a jury and determine if this is a guy they really want back in office, given his past conduct. We'll talk more about this and more with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil right after the Midwest Farm Report, next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas stations in the four state area.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If you're a dairy producer, it matters where your milk is going. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I'm not talking necessarily about the company that it goes to, but instead the product that it ends up with. Andy Feenstra is a dairy analyst with the EverAg team, and he said right now for Wisconsin dairy producers that see their milk going to cheese, you're witnessing a lower milk price. For dairy producers in the Northeast that see their milk going to things like ice cream and cream cheese, well, they're finding value. Feenstra says it's all about what your milk's being used for.
You know, when I think about class four products, I mean, the big ones are obviously butter powder, right? But you hit the nail on the head. Obviously, when you start to hit the summer months, things like butter or things like ice cream definitely creep in there, and it's big demand. But then also, too, you got to think about cream cheese products as well, which, I mean, that's... You're starting to kind of, you're wading into the class too. But again, to me, I think what I start to think of summer months, the ice cream demand is always something that it's always something that's going to be there. And hey, depends on how hot it gets too, right?
Andy Feenstra, he is one of the dairy analysts with EverAg. He said today, milk going to cheese is discounted by about $4 a hundredweight versus milk that's going into ice cream or cream cheese. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed. Numbers are next.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodashvet.com. Innovation.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
On Thursday, barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent up to 143 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was up 3 3/4 cents at 147 and a quarter, while AA butter gained 0.75 cents, 284 and 3/4 per pound. Right now, the April Class 3 milk is up 7 at 16.32. May closed a penny lower, 16.76. December corn's up a penny at 4.69. November soybeans are down a penny, 11.86. July new crop wheat right now unchanged at 5.47 a bushel. So just a quick market snapshot on a Friday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 51 for a high this afternoon, becoming a little breezy here by late this afternoon. The wind out of the west, 10 to 20, gusting to 25 after about 4 or 5 this afternoon. Tonight, some light rain or snow showers, windy with a low of 34. Tomorrow, a few light snow showers, windy, mostly cloudy with a high of 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right,
right, let's look back on the week with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil talking about things that start with the presidential campaign, because it came to Wisconsin yet again, and it's going to come again and again and again. Kia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm pretty well. How about yourself?
Very good. Been a busy week here. Obviously, anytime the president comes to your state, and that's not going to happen everywhere, the real battleground like this one. So we've talked quite a bit about President Biden. In this case, it was in Milwaukee, and it was about infrastructure, and he opened up a campaign office. But basically, this is kind of a tour of the blue wall is what it sounds like. I think Michigan was next. I think North Carolina is in there someplace. What kind of messages do you think he's trying to bring in each of these states?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see him talk a lot about what he talked about, both in the State of the Union last week, and then he released his budget proposal on Monday. And they're very much in sync with each other. So I think what you're going to hear is kind of a review of his first term accomplishments with the infrastructure law and, you know, the CHIPS Act and these investments to address things like internet access and bridges and roads and airports and water. And then I think you're going to hear a forward looking plan, which is talking about what he would do in a second term. And we know what that might look like from his budget. You know, he has proposed restoring the child tax credit to the level it was in 2021 when parents were getting between $300 and $350 a month, most parents. And then he wants to expand some housing credits. There is clearly an understanding in the administration that housing costs are really affecting people, and that's because they are. And so we're seeing them really focus on that, which I think is a huge step. He wants to create a paid family and medical leave program in a country in the US that is the only, you know, advanced country in the world without one. He wants to invest in affordable childcare so that most working families pay $10 or less a day. Right now, the average in a lot of places is over $1,000. In some places, it's over $2,000 a month. So, you know, we know housing costs are a crisis, childcare costs are a crisis. He wants to protect and strengthen Social Security and Medicare. And, you know, a lot of people are going to look at that and ask, okay, but where's the money going to come from? And the answer there is by raising taxes on corporations, which have seen huge tax cuts since under the Trump administration, and on billionaires, who also saw huge tax cuts under the Trump administration. We used to tax, you know, these folks at, you know, double what they're being taxed right now. And he's not proposing anywhere near that. But Biden is proposing increases. He's proposing increases on stock buyback taxes. There is no shortage of money in this country. It's just being, you know, hoarded right now by the elite.
Well, when you've got that kind of political power, I mean, why wouldn't you? And for far too long, I think Democrats were kind of, kind of treading lightly around the issue. But I think as more people understand so much work needs to be done, and that the scales have been tilted so out of kilter, you know, in part because of the multi-trillion dollar hole that Republicans blew in the budget during the Trump administration. I think that's going to resonate with folks. Republicans, for their part, are already engaged in some familiar back and forth with themselves, starting with, oh, entitlements are too high and Social Security and Medicare. And then when it's mentioned that they said these things, they say, oh, that's not what we meant at all. And specifically this week, we're talking about the former president's comments about Social Security.
Yeah. So Donald Trump, you know, emerged from his right-wing media cocoon and went on CNBC and was asked about Social Security and Medicare, what, you know, conservatives like to deride as quote-unquote entitlements, even though these are things people pay into for their whole working life. And Trump said, you know, he would basically look at cuts. Like, we have to be open to cuts to entitlements, like, you know, Social Security and Medicare. Again, entitlements, they're not entitlements. But, you know, that's what Trump said. He has since tried to clean up those remarks because it's an incredibly unpopular position that, you know, Republicans keep taking over and over and over again, because that's what they actually want to do. In every budget while Trump was in the White House in his first term, he proposed huge cuts to Social Security and Medicare. We know, based on Project 2025, which is a 900-page document for a second Trump term, they want to cut Social Security and Medicare. So again, like, let's believe them when they say what they say.
Because this is what happened with Trump this week is not that much different than Mitt Romney being caught on the microphone making the 47% comment all those years ago when he's talking to Joe Kernan on CNBC. And Joe went from a rather entertaining anchor once upon a time. Now he is as right-wing pro-billionaire curmudgeon-y as he gets. And Donald Trump said the kinds of things that a Joe Kernan wants to hear. But it's a CNBC audience, and then it goes out from there, and every mic is a hot mic. And if you're not willing to say out loud, yeah, I'm going to cut your Social Security, don't say it on a basic cable channel. It's going to get legs, you know, one way or another.
Yeah, and we know, I mean, that came 3 days after Biden was made it a huge talking point in a State of the Union that he would oppose anyone who cut it, who tried to cut these programs. And they're incredibly popular. We know seniors vote. We know millions of people are about to age into getting those benefits. I'm paying into them right now. I would like for those programs to be around when I get older. Obviously, there are funding issues, but again, you know, the solution is not to cut them, if you ask me. It's to actually tax people who are not paying their fair share of taxes right now.
So look for that continued debate on Social Security, Medicare. And we already know when it comes to Medicaid, it's not even so much they don't have to cut it in Wisconsin. You've had Republicans for over a decade not accept the Medicaid expansion. Again, costing Wisconsin billions and billions of dollars over this past decade plus. But to stick with the budget talk in Washington, another House Republican abruptly quits. And I am reminded that even though there is this kind of budget deal that ended the threat of a government shutdown, it's a 12-bill package, and only six of the bills were passed last week, and the other six are coming due pretty soon. Are we in danger of having this all get, you know, sidetracked yet again? Or can this much get done in Washington?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I am skeptical there will be a shutdown, but, you know, honestly, who knows when you have Mike Johnson and the House Republicans in charge? You know, they're about to lose another vote. Colorado Congressman Ken Buck is resigning, I believe, at the end of this week or next week.
Not quietly.
No. He went on CNN and pretty much tore his party to shreds, and he said it's the worst year he's had in Congress. He thinks it's the worst year, you know, that a lot of members have had in 50 years. And let's recap. It's been since Republicans took control of the majority last year. They have struggled to pass any single piece of legislation. They have ousted their former speaker, Kevin McCarthy. It took them a month to find a new speaker who was basically a backbench congressman from Louisiana, who turned out to be one of the most extreme, you know, far-right conservatives ever elected speaker in modern America. And since he was elected, they've succeeded in doing absolutely nothing, but finally passing these short-term bills with mostly Democratic help.
Right. And I didn't have time to double check it, but when somebody made the joke that the House Republicans have lost more members than bills they have passed, that may not be hyperbole. I'd have to actually go back and run the numbers. But they did find time to talk about TikTok and to get a TikTok bill done. And you know, I've already made my feelings known on this, that a lot of Democrats are afraid to be painted as, you know, pro-China, you get, and that's why Republicans are doing this. If you really wanted to solve this problem, you wouldn't go after just one platform, TikTok. You'd be going after Facebook and all the others. But it got through the House with a big bipartisan vote, which takes it to the Senate, and that's where I ask you, this TikTok bill, is it going to scare enough Democrats? Does it have legs in the Senate or sandbags?
I am not certain. I am flabbergasted that Democrats are supporting this. I understand, obviously, the concerns about, you know, privacy with TikTok's users' data. You know, that said, I don't think it's great that any government, you know, can request data. Like, we don't, this Facebook is an issue. Instagram is an issue. All these apps need regulation. They need better legislation. There needs to be safeguards in place. And like you said, I think targeting one just because its parent company is based in China is a mistake. I think it's, you know, it veers into just really messy territory in terms of free speech and civil liberties and potentially xenophobia. And again, target them all, legislate them all, regulate them all. I fully support that. And then, you know, on the politics of it, it's, you know, a lot of the voters that Democrats need to reach are getting their news on TikTok. And so if you force a sale, we've already heard Steven Mnuchin, Trump's former Treasury Secretary, wants to buy it. Do we want it to become a right-wing platform like Twitter has become? Yep. So as for the Senate, I feel semi-optimistic that it won't pass the Senate because we do have enough. There's a handful of Democrats who seem to have problems with it. There are even some conservatives who seem to have problems with it.
Yes.
That said, I don't know. You know, there is a lot of lobbying going on both sides. This would be a gift, you know, to the other platforms like Facebook, that has lost some market share. So I don't know, but I think it would be a huge mistake.
I just know that we will be forever scarred by the 2016 election, where it wasn't just that Donald Trump won, it was the assist that he got from so much misinformation that got its roots, you know, in Russia, but then Americans spread because they wanted to believe the things that were popping up in their social media feed. And while maybe things weren't quite, you know, that wrong in 2020, I couldn't say for sure, but that's what we really need to be watching for, is the misinformation. That may not come from the owner, that can come from any group that wants to try to work the algorithm.
And I want to be clear here, I'm not trying to defend TikTok. I do not have any love for TikTok. I do not have any love for any of these platforms. I think they're all can be incredibly dangerous and misused for exploitation. They are all rife with misinformation and conspiracies and lies. But again, the problem is where you single one out for geopolitical reasons instead of target all of them to actually achieve what you're saying you want to achieve, which is protecting people's privacy and data.
Yeah, I'm always going to take probably the one of the fringe views. They're not platforms; they are publishers. And if you can't act like a publisher with everything that goes across to get rid of the violent content and everything else, then you shouldn't do it because you're a publisher, not a platform. But anyway, let's finish just on. Is it a lighter note, a comedic note? Robert Kennedy Jr. looking at Jesse Ventura and Aaron Rodgers as possible running mates. I don't even want to get into those two right now. My question to you is simply this. It's a little national topic that he may get some independent votes, but is this guy, Robert Kennedy Jr., is this guy going to start showing up in any of the state-by-state polls where he actually becomes a threat to one candidate or the other? Or is this just a clown show that we have to deal with for a little while?
I am among the I hold the belief that he will. I actually think he could pose a real threat to both candidates, if I'm being honest. You know, on the right, I think he appeals to this set of people who are nostalgic for this, have this false sense of nostalgia for the 50s and the 60s as this golden age of American life. The guy's last name is Kennedy. Mm. So, you know, even if they're not Democrats, like, I do think there's a lot of Trump supporters who used to be Democrats who grew up liking the Kennedys, and so they may now be drawn to this guy. There's also the anti-vaccine fringe movement that might be drawn to him. And then on the left, on the liberal side, you know, this is a guy who's an environmentalist. He is billing himself as an alternative to the two parties that a lot of people are unhappy with, so that does appeal to some people. He's not going to win, but could he get 5-10% of the votes in November? Absolutely. And I don't know who that pulls from more. And that should be scaring the Jesus out of everybody.
Well, just get used to hearing me talk about Ralph Nader in 2000 over and over and over again. But we'll follow that and much more. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Vakil keeps us updated. Check us out at upnorthnewswi.com or couriernewsroom.com. And read what he's writing up for all of us at the outlets of Courier Newsroom all across the country. Kia, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat.
Also, be sure to check out our social media feeds to see some of what President Biden had to say during his visit to Milwaukee this week. Also, we have a fill in the blank on social media. Wisconsin's best small town is what? Fill it in. Tell us. We'll have today's history lesson and musical memories coming up next, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North,
910 AM WBZH.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays every week. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Workers.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
My buddies and me, you're getting real well known, yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around, I get around.
Happy birthday to Mike Love of the Beach Boys. Mike Love, 83 years old today. So they're not really the Beach Boys anymore, are they? They're the Beach Boys. Old man shakes fist at cloud.
The beach grandpas. Sir, please, I know it's a free country, but just put your shirt on, please.
Look, time is undefeated, but yeah, Mike Love, 83 years old, so happy birthday to him. There's a lot of singer birthdays, so we're not going to get to all the music clips today. You'll just have to play some of these tunes in your head. For example, R&B singer Rockwell is 60 years old today. Remember, what was his one with the Michael Jackson? Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah, that's Barry Gordy's nephew, so you know who. Uncle Barry, I want a record contract. Okay.
Okay, yes. So, but you can't call yourself Kennedy William Gordy, your birth name, so Rockwell is what he became. Blink 182's Mark Hoppus. Yeah. Is 52 years old today.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. Let's see. Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas is 49. He was born William Adams in Los Angeles. Brett Michaels from Poison, he's 61 today. I don't know if you want to hear a 61-year-old man sing Talk Dirty to Me.
I think you need to stop. Oh, God.
Well, here's one more birthday. I don't know if you can hit these notes anymore. Happy 69th birthday to Twisted Sister's Dee Snider.
Nice.
It's such a young man's anthem. Now he's, I'm sure he's... If he redid it today at the age of 69, he'd be like, I'm too tired to fight it.
I'm going to take a nap. I mean, I see him on Twitter and Instagram. Man, he's got as much energy now as he did then. And I have just tons of respect for him as a person. Like, oh,
good.
Love him.
Good on him. All right. Let's see. Oh, boy. Here's one from Sly and the Family Stone. Sly Stone is 80 years old today, born Sylvester Stewart in Denton, Texas. There's a lot of good Sly and Family songs out there. I just happen to really like this one. Look on the text line, somebody from Waukesha writing in, grandparent bashing is just not nice. Someday you hope to be a grandparent. So if you're not nice, I'm off to TikTok or Netflix. You got to listen more because this show is hosted by a grandpa, a very proud grandpa.
And I never will. I'll never be a grandpa. And
a grandpa over here who's got a bit of an attitude, but still has fun. Still has fun with all the other grandpas that are out there. Here's another one, Terrence Trent D'Arby. He was born Terrence Trent Howard in New York City. He is 62 today.
I love this song.
Oh, I really like his voice. I'm kind of surprised he didn't chart with more tunes.
Yeah.
Terrence Trent D'Arby, 62. This would have been the 90th birthday. No, 91st. Nope. Math is hard today. I'm sorry. This would have been the
91st
birthday.
91st.
Yeesh. Yeah. For former Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who passed away in 2020. So this would have been the birthday for former Justice Ginsburg. It's not often we put wedding anniversaries up here, but happy 21st wedding anniversary to country singer Brad Paisley and actress Kimberly Williams. They first met when the singer cast her as his female lead for his music video for his Fishin' song, I'm Gonna Miss Her.
I love that song. I love that record. Brad Paisley's an American treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I adore him. Yeah, he's great.
21 years.
Wow.
Them.
Wow.
Yes.
I met him a long time ago, but I think before he was married, so now I feel super old.
We're just happy to see that. Well,
yeah.
A couple of other tunes we'll play along the way in our next hour. Blackwater by the Doobie Brothers was a number one hit this day in 1975. Starship's Sarah hit number one on this day in 1986. On the calendar today, we've already said plenty about World Contact Day, but why don't we all do it just really, really quick, just for 3 seconds. 3 seconds. We're all going to be really quiet, and we're just going to try to communicate with alien life in outer space. You ready? Here we go. No, I can't do it. There we go. We'll let Karen Carpenter do it for us. This is National Peanut Lovers Day. This is National Preschool Teacher Appreciation Day, National Day of Action Against Bullying. This is Shoe the World Day, and not shoe go away, but actually, you know, shoes for children and other folks who have none in some parts of the world. This is International Day to Combat Islamophobia, and this is National Buzzard Day. Have you ever heard the expression, the buzzards return to Hinckley?
No.
Okay. I like that you had to think about that, though.
I was going to say, I hope the grandparent we managed to make mad got it.
You have heard about how the swallows come back to Capistrano. That's a sign of the season.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere along the line in the area of Hinckley, Ohio, they realized that the buzzards in that area always come back on March 15th. Which is weird because if you look really closely at the buzzards, they got the little Apple watches, but they can't read them. They're buzzards. But somehow they know to be back here. Hey, you own the comedy club, okay?
That's right. I do.
Yeah. All right. And finally, this, of course, is the Ides of March. And so, of course, I had to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And figure out what is the Ides of March anyway. And Ides was just another way of saying the middle day of the month. It's okay, so every month has their Ides on the 15th or whatever it is. But back in the day in the Roman Empire, if you had debts to pay, you know, it wasn't like you paid your bills on the first of the month, but if you had certain debts to pay, they were always due on the Ides of certain months, including the Ides of March. And that's where you had the whole notion of, you know, Julius Caesar being assassinated and being warned earlier in the day to beware the Ides of March. And that's where we get the expression from what happened to Julius on this day in 44 BC.
Oh, he went back to Hinckley.
Oh, and happy birthday to the American Legion, founded on this day in 1919. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob about some of the media coverage, a couple that we covered yesterday, for example, of when newsrooms behave too much like stenographers and don't double-check the things that are being spoon-fed to them. Dan Schumacher will talk about sports and much more ahead in our second hour, live from Lake Wissota.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Noon to 2 on Friday. We'll celebrate St. Patrick's Day and also preview Selection Sunday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Both parents of a Michigan school shooter have now been convicted of four counts of